on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
Good evening, guys, and welcome to On The Ropes with me, Charlie Foley. Hopefully all you fighting fans from across Essex, London and the globe are tuning in live. You can also get us on the Echoes. So your Alexa, your Googles, just ask Alexa, say play Phoenix FM and you'll get us live each and every Sunday. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend, everyone. You may realise that it's me, it's Charlie, and you're thinking, where is Mark, the anchor man? He's the yin to my yang. He's done a bunk this weekend. He's gone off to the Isle of Wight. He's hopped over on a hovercraft. Mark, if you're listening, I hope you're having a fantastic time. And I hope you took your raincoat and your wellies. It's been a wet one this weekend, but to be honest, we've needed it. It's been a very, very warm few weeks here in Essex. Fight fans, I hope you're all doing well. Do stay tuned with us. We've got your weekly fix of boxing, news, reviews and debates and, of course, music. And like I said, a major talking point this week as Mark has done a bunk. So, yep, I hope everyone's well and we'll get on with the show. Mark, do bring us back some rock and a fridge magnet to all the Phoenix FM and have a safe journey home. So, guys, hope you're doing well, like I said. And, you know, any questions tonight? You know, all the debate that we've got, all the recent weekend's boxing, you know, if you want to catch us on all the socials, join in with the debate. On Twitter, we're On The Ropes FM. On Insta, On The Ropes FM1. And also, we've got a Facebook group, On The Ropes. I'll happily read out your thoughts, you know, good or bad. Any questions you have, you know, do tweet in tonight and I'll read them out live on air. And also, do subscribe, you know, for all your weekly boxing chat and obviously banter, which is key. We all love a bit of banter. We're going to mix up a bit this week in between, you know, reading you the news and just having a little bit of debate. We've got a local boxing writer and boxing enthusiast, Thomas Lyons. He's joining us live on the line very shortly. So, you know, he'll give us his view and his thoughts on, you know, everything boxing related, especially during COVID. So, you know, do stick around for that. And we're just going to, like I said, we're going to mix it up with some great songs. You know, I want you to guess the ringwalk. So I'll be playing songs related to boxing, you know, whether it's a movie soundtrack, whether it's a ringwalk. You know, first on the buzzer, again, tweeting. If you get it, I'll read out your name live on air. So do listen out and, you know, play along, everyone. Play along. So, big news this week. Let's start with news of the week in the boxing world. News of the week this week, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. The exhibition fight is now officially set for August 28th. The bout, which will be recognised by an unnamed sanctioning body. I mean, what does that mean? Unnamed sanctioning body? Is there such a thing? Who will score it and present the winner? With a specially commissioned belt, apparently, which, you know, what's all that about? What is all that about? The undercard is likely to feature such names as Badu Jack and YouTuber Jake Paul. I mean, this smells like a pay-per-view to me, all over it. You know, both were formidable boxers on their day, but honestly, I'm unsure if it's worthy of a pay-per-view. So time will tell on that one. But it was likely that it was going to be November. Let's see how true that is. You know, Tyson on his day, formidable, like I said. Roy Jones Jr., formidable. You know, quick hands, kind of a light heavy. You know, Tyson's a natural heavyweight with raw power. So, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. But, you know, they're both in their 50s, so they're likely to gas out. So, yeah, time will tell on that one. Other breaking news this week. Eddie Hearn and Matchroom confirmed Luke Campbell versus Ryan Garcia has now been agreed in principle to take place in either the UK or the US late November. Eddie Hearn is keen to get it in the UK, but obviously, you know, with the lockdown, you know, behind closed doors, you know, that contest is worthy of a packed arena at the O2. It really is. And obviously a pay-per-view event as well. So getting Garcia over to the UK, you know, that might be a big ask from Matchroom, but certainly one that I'll be looking forward to. So, yeah, like I said, the fight's likely to take place in November, and it will be for the WBC interim lightweight belt. And it will be a final eliminator to determine Devin Haney's next mandatory. As we know, Devin Haney's also signed to Matchroom. He's a little bit sure of himself, you know, much the younger guy. Not really fought with anyone really of world level. So it'll be interesting to see the winner of Campbell and Garcia, you know, go on to fight Haney. You know, it'll be a big task for Haney, I think. But, you know, certainly be experience versus youth. So again, watch this space. Can't wait for that one. Other breaking news this week: Top Rank and Bob Arum. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez has been agreed. A unification fight planned for October 17th in Top Rank's MGM Grand Bubble. It was claimed that Loma initially agreed to a $3.5 million purse, but now has agreed to reduce it to $3.25 to get the deal done. It's likely not to be on a pay-per-view. Yes, that's right, not. It's worthy of a pay-per-view, but Bob Arum, you know, and Top Rank and ESPN are keen to get boxing back on the agenda in the States. So this one will be on regular ESPN. I mean, what an absolute mouth-watering bout. Not to be on pay-per-view, just to be on a regular sports channel, guys. So I'm sure we'll all be able to stream into that one. And I will certainly be trying to find a decent stream for that. So cannot wait for that. Bob Arum also said this week that WBO Super Featherweight Champion Jermell Herring will defend his title against Oquendo on September the 5th. Jonathan Oquendo, September 5th. If Jermell is successful, then it's Kyle Frampton next. What an absolute big fight for Frampton. He wants to go down in Irish history. Three-time weight world champion. Well, here's your chance, Frampton. As long as Herring comes through that bout, which Frampton did last night, and we'll touch upon that more so with this week's guest, Thomas Lyons, but it will be Frampton versus Herring. And what an absolute fight that will be. Cannot wait. And, you know, let's see. Herring's 5'10" for a featherweight. You know, he's pretty tall. He's got a powerful stance, southpaw stance. Frampton last night fought a taller man, works well with the bodies. He was a little bit flat. But anyway, we'll discuss that. But, you know, it could be on, you know, Frampton will have his chance finally, you know, to go down in Irish history. And not just Irish history, you know, British history as well. You know, he's been a great little boxer this past decade. And it looks like he's going to get his chance. Whether or not, you know, his best days are behind him at 33, I don't know. But time will tell. Time will tell. Also this week at the WBC convention via Zoom. Yes, Zoom. Imagine trying to get all those egos, especially Eddie, on Zoom this week. I mean, that must have been mouth-watering and obviously comical. You know, wish I was a fly on the wall for that call. There was a serious debate about creating a weight class between cruiser and heavyweight. Can you believe it? Another weight class between cruiser and heavyweight. Hypothetical limit of 225 pounds, that's 16 stone and 1 pound. WBC President Maurizio Sulaiman said that they would create a committee to consider the proposal. Who knows? David Benavidez might be up for that one. I mean, I don't know if you've been reading up and keeping up to date. He should have fought last night to, you know, defend his WBC super middleweight title. He came in overweight, almost 3 pounds overweight. He's lost his title. He was supposed to defend against Roma Angulo. It should have taken place last night, like I said. And amazingly, it's the second time he's lost his world title. He tested positive first time around, you know, for a Class A. I mean, what are these boxers doing? You know, I know it's COVID, everyone's kicking back, but come on, this is your bread and butter, this is your profession, you know, stay fit, you haven't got any excuses, you've got the backyard, you've got the roads, get out, do your running, especially if you've got a world title defence, and there's some big dollar fights around the corner in that division. You know, there was talk about him facing Caleb Plant. That's out the window now. So, I mean, what is he doing? Or is it the fact that, you know, this week, Canelo's fight was, he was supposed to fight September 12th. You know, he's a Golden Boy Promotions manager, Robert Diaz, said he will now not fight on September 12th. Does that mean that Benavidez has thrown it? You know, a huge Mexican affair? You know, Canelo versus Benavidez. Benavidez has been calling out, like everyone else on the planet, has been calling out Canelo recently. So, is he going to get the shout? I really don't know how this one's going to go. I mean, but a silly, silly boy from Benavidez. Really, really stupid. You know, like I said, it should have been a straightforward defence last night. And it looks like he's blown it. Silly, silly man. So, you know, again, just watch out for the news this week, in the coming weeks. Benavidez, Canelo, who knows? It could take place. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see this one. Okay, guys, like I said, I'm going to break up a little bit. Something different this week. I'm going to play a song in between, you know, obviously talking debate on all things boxing. So have a little listen to this one. Tell me where it's from. Is it a movie or is it a ring walk? Here we go. Catch a load of this one. Catch you soon.
I soon know where I've been.
guys. I hope you enjoyed that one. Can you guess what it was from? It was from The Fighter, of course, Mickey Ward. His legendary fight against Shane Neary. He went over to Liverpool, and that was his ring walk song. I mean, Irish Mickey Ward, what a fighter. He was in some epic fights with Gatti in the early 2000s. I mean, a real, real warrior. Right, guys, this is that moment in time where we are joined by a guest. We have Thomas Lyons on the phone from The Fight Business. He's a boxing enthusiast. I've bumped into him at many shows, and he's also a writer. He writes up on all the recent shows. So we're going to discuss debate on lockdown. We're going to discuss all the week's fights. Let me just get Tom on the line. Bear with me, guys. Tom, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Charlie. How you doing, bud?
Doing very well, and you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. I couldn't ask for a better introduction to that, to be honest. So I'm grateful to be on your show, and like you were saying in the build-up, a lot to cover over this lockdown period.
Absolutely. I mean, you've obviously been keeping up to date with all the fights.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
I mean, and what's your take on lockdown itself? You know, behind closed doors, no fans. How do you think that's gone?
Do you know what? It's kind of like a trial period at the moment. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen the next few months, the severity of the COVID on sport. And I've kind of seen, you know, with sports such as, like, you know, snooker, Formula One, but boxing is a different kettle of fish. You know, we need fans there to give it that excitement, to bring energy to big arenas, and I'm sure you, just as much as I'm missing big crowds and the atmosphere going down to York Hall of a Friday, Saturday night, and just that real buzz behind boxing shows. But I mean, but behind closed doors, it's obviously something that the promoters, the matchmakers have to deal with in current times. They have to keep their fighters busy. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see what the next few months bring for the sport.
And have you been keeping up to date with this past week, some of the bouts? I mean, MTK Wednesday night, John O'Carroll. I mean, let's talk that. What an upset that was versus Maxie Hughes. I mean, did you catch that one?
Yeah, I know. Fair play to Maxie Hughes. You know, he boxed a very tactical fight. I do kind of feel sorry for John O'Carroll, because, you know, since obviously the world title loss to Farmer, he was kind of hoping that he'd get a few good wins under his belt. But it just shows you, in boxing, you can't overlook anybody. And I feel there was an element of John O'Carroll overlooking Maxie Hughes, but I also just think as well, he wasn't able to feed off the crowd. He lacked a bit of sharpness. He was a bit flat in stages, but all credit goes to Maxie Hughes. You know, he got the win, he got the job done, and that's boxing for you. We saw it last night with you know, Archie Sharp. He didn't look his usual self. We saw the night before Shannon Courtenay. You know, she slipped up. So boxing gives people opportunities to use their platform to their best of their abilities, and only the winner can go on and push on for bigger fights.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if, you know, with going back to Carroll, you know, it was up in Wakefield, the Production Park Studios, the first of MTK's, you know, lockdown fights.
Yeah.
Big name. You know, he is a big name. Obviously, like you said, he's been in at world levels. Tevin Farmer. He's obviously been in with Scott Quigg. I don't know if he underestimated Maxie Hughes, or on his day, you know, he's been in there with the likes of Liam Walsh.
Yeah.
He's trained by Josh Warrington's father, Sean O'Hagan. You know, he's no slouch. And I think, like you just alluded to earlier, you know, about lockdown and, you know, the lack of atmosphere and stuff like that. Was it a flat performance because of that? There's no excuses. I mean, but Hughes was definitely up for it, for sure.
Definitely. He was much sharper to the punch. I just feel like sometimes these close fights, they're very hard to score, because you get guys that will, you know, they'll throw punches for the first minute, then they might have a 30-second, you know, where they're not doing as much, they're not as active, and then next thing you know, he's 2-3 rounds down on the scorecards, and he's really going to have to go through the gears. I just don't think John O'Carroll really got out of second gear. He didn't look like he had that level of urgency about him to really do a job on Maxie Hughes. And Maxie Hughes, fair play to him. You know, Sean O'Hagan's a great coach. You've seen what he's done with Josh Warrington. Very calm, very you know, calculated performance. And as I said, he's no pushover. He's operated at European level. He's probably looking, you know, for that last big, you know, breakthrough onto the world scene. And what better way to do it over John O'Carroll?
Yeah, but the thing is, Thomas, as well, I mean, Jojo Diaz has just recently signed to MTK. Now, he's got the IBF world title. I personally think, and he took it, ironically, he beat Tevin Farmer back in January. You know, and I think this, you know, they expected Carroll to come through this, you know, with ease, clean bill of health. And I personally think that, you know, Jojo Diaz was lined up for Carroll next. It's a real spanner in the works. I mean, Maxi Hughes, do you think he might get the opportunity at world level?
I mean, I'd imagine they'll try and do something, maybe get a rematch for John O'Carroll. But, I mean, it's terrible timing, really, for MTK to sign someone of the magnitude of Joe Diaz, who's still relatively young. You know, he's not had too many tough fights. And the way he looked against Tevin Farmer, I mean, he's a real, real problem for that division, I think. I don't think John O'Carroll would have been able to beat him. I think just Jojo Diaz, his class and his skill would just be a bit too much for Carroll, and probably equally the same for Maxi Hughes. But as you say, you don't know in boxing, everyone's got a puncher's chance, and Maxi Hughes showed something else to him on Wednesday night. He showed, like I said there, he was calm, he was calculated, he didn't fall in too much, he knew exactly how to time his shots, and he caught Carroll a lot on the inside when Carroll was, you know, falling short, and I think he was just kind of trying to overexert himself a bit too much, and it paid dividends in Hughes' favour.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will be interested to keep my eye on Carroll. You know, he had a top 15 world ranking, you know, which obviously is in jeopardy now. So you never know, it might work in his favour, where people think, you know, he's a bit of a pushover. They might think, actually, we'll take a punt on him, and they may come unstuck, you know, because on his day, don't get me wrong, he is a good little boxer, you know, quick hands, and obviously, I don't know if it was two southpaw styles clashing on Wednesday evening as well, because he did say himself afterwards, you know, he felt a bit flat. He's not sure if it was, obviously, his coaches didn't travel over from Ireland, so he was utilising other coaches. He also said, you know, facing a southpaw, he's used to facing an orthodox opponent. So, you know, it was a little bit ugly at times. Obviously, they clashed due to both being southpaws. But, you know, watch his space. I'm sure at 28 years of age, I'm sure he's got ample time to go again. So time will tell.
Yeah, but I mean, both of them, Carroll and Hughes, they both need these kind of fights. You know, there's no point in John O'Carroll fighting a journeyman on an MTK show. It's good that they've matched them, 50-50. You know, John O'Carroll can still bounce back. It's not as if he's had a beatdown, you know, on Wednesday. It's a close fight. You know, Hughes has got the better of him, and you just got to go back to the drawing board and just really calculate. And I think even just one or two more wins, and he could be on the fringes of a world title shot again. But as I say, Charlie, you know yourself, you can't make excuses in boxing, and he just wasn't good enough on the night. And I think Hughes just has to sort of use this now as a benchmark for him to go and try and win a world title himself, because at the end of the day, you know, I know that these promoters, they're struggling for international fighters coming over. You know, you'd like to see maybe John O'Carroll or Hughes get someone on that cusp of the world level, you know, someone who's been around, challenged for a world title, has got the experience, because I think that benchmark from sort of domestic to world level, especially at that weight, is a big, big jump. And I think you need to be equipped to be able to handle the likes of the evasive fighters like Jojo Diaz, Tevin Farmer, because these guys, they ain't gonna let you off. When they catch you on the inside, they're gonna hurt you with big punches. So we'll have to see. But as I say, all around, it was a good show, and it was just kind of warming up to Friday and Saturday night for the big ones.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to move on to now. Friday night saw Sky Sports cameras return to Matchroom Square Gardens, obviously not too far from where our studios are here in Brentwood, Essex, for Fight Camp 3. Some real props have to go to all those involved with Matchroom and Sky. You know, for me, Tom, I don't know what you think, each and every fight has been competitive. Some real 50-50s, especially, you know, the women. I mean, some great little fights. Obviously, Jonas and Harper the other week.
Great fight.
And obviously, you know, Courtney and Bo at the weekend on Friday evening. I mean, fantastic, you know. But, you know, Kieran Conway as well. He took his first title, the WBA Intercontinental Superweight title. He faced, you know, a very impressive Rotherham's Nav Mansouri. A very, very, you know, dogged performance. You know, Mansouri You can tell he's a tough cookie. Conway worked into it. You know, I think the latter part of the fight, his strength really played through. And that's a red hot division as well. You know, matchroom with the likes of Cheeseman, Fowler, Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
You know, and now throw Conway in the mix. You know, he might get that rematch with Cheeseman. He might step in with Fowler. I think Conway would happily step in with any of those. And they're all under matchroom.
Yeah, it's a healthy time for that division, you know, because we're not going to see, we want to see all these domestic fights happen, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. But just like to touch on the show itself, I mean, the last few weeks have just been enthralling. The matchups have been fantastic. Credit to, you know, Eddie Hearn. He's really sort of, you know, he's experimenting with this new fight camp model. He's trying to, you know, give the fans at home and watching across, you know, international audiences something to really be excited about, that the fact that fans can't go and attend these events. But yeah, some of the fights have been exciting. I mean, I was quite impressed with Jordan Gill the other week against Reese Bellotti. Again, Reese Bellotti's not a pushover. Last I think it was the second week we had Fowler. He looked impressive. So yeah, I mean, all these guys, they seem to be feeding off the lights, the pyrotechnics. It's exciting. I think Matchroom have done really well with their fight camp.
And I mean, how did you feel about Shannon Courtney? You know, that was real controversy there. You know, I know Rachel Ball put her down in the first round. Sweet left hook. You know, Courtney got caught on the hop, really. She was going in with an overhand right and wallop. That come a left hook and put her down. And that obviously dazed her. She came back very strong.
Yeah.
You know, but Ball was a 6-1 outsider going into that fight. She was she's a former kickboxer world champion. Do you think, you know, again, we've seen it with John O'Carroll. Do you think they overlooked Ball?
I wouldn't be too harsh on Courtney. I don't think she overlooked Rachel Ball. I just think, you know, again, it's a close fight. It's not as if she's been put down several times with hurtful punches. She got caught, yes, made a mistake in the first round. But I think from rounds 2 to round 6, she boxed well. Her head movement was good. She seemed to sort of be that extra bit sharper than Ball. But then down the stretch, I think Ball just got into it. Courtney looked fatigued. She didn't look her usual self. And I think when you're not at the races, especially not having the crowds behind you to really push you on through the last sort of, you know, the championship rounds, the last 7 and 8, she should really be looking at Rachel Ball as an opponent that she's just going to systematically break down. But again, did the knockdown, you know, hurt her confidence? Did she feel like before the fight she didn't think Rachel Ball's power was going to have a telling effect? Well, it proved obviously in the first round she got caught with a crisp left hook. So it's a learning curve for Courtney. I think she should go back, reflect, and she can come again. She's good. She's around top class fighters, the likes of Conlon, you know, Burnett when he was fighting. So it's not a massive damage to her career. She just needs to get back to the drawing board and just build her confidence up again, because I think there's been a lot of pressure on not just women's boxing but on Shannon Courtney, you know, looking up to the likes of Katie Taylor next week against Per Soon. So I think she just needs to maybe step down a few notches and just focus on what she's good at, which is hit and move. And she got drawn into a bit of a dogfight, let's be honest. And I mean, at this level, you don't know who's across from you could catch you with a good shot and put you down. So it just shows you can't overlook anybody in boxing.
I mean, absolutely not. And, Ball was very emotional at the end. And she was quite endearing, actually, you know,
yeah.
Just saying, you know, it's my time now. Hopefully, you know, Matchroom can throw me in some bouts, because, you know, women's boxing is really elevating itself. And it, you know, like we said, you know, these last few months in lockdown, I think the women's have really, you know, they've really come forward in terms of you know, for the fight fans. It's been exciting to watch. It really has. Real 50-50s, you know, they wear their hearts on their sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, they're not scared to take a punch, to give a punch. And to be honest, they put some of these male boxers to shame, really.
100%. I mean, the women's competition out there, you know, you might look at the roster and think there's not a lot of fighters out there, similar sort of to the way we view the lighter weights in the men's game. You know, But I think they've really proved, especially with, like, you know, Harper Jonas. I'd like to see a rematch there, which I think will happen. Last night, Jessica McCaskill beat Cecilia Breakhouse. So it just shows you, man, like, honestly, the competition is really stellar at the moment, and you've got to just give praise to the women putting their lives on the line and showing that, you know, there's no disparity between the men and the women. They're just as exciting, and it'll be interesting to see Katie Taylor cap that off next weekend. Hopefully she gets the job done, and it can, you know, it really put women onto a bigger platform and give them the exposure they deserve.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more there, Tom. So the headline fight Friday night was none other than Felix Cash. Comfortably defended the Commonwealth middleweight title, yeah, against it was a fifth round stoppage, wasn't it? Jason Wellborn. Wellborn's probably past his day. He looked a little bit podgy around the midriff. I'm not sure if they got him in short notice or what.
Yeah.
You know, he put him down. You know, he was twice down in the fifth. You know, and I'm not sure what he would have learnt from that, Cash. You know, afterwards, I've been all over social media. It's hilarious. Liam Williams, you know, he'll fight anyone. And Cash was, you know, ridiculing him, and Williams was ridiculing him, saying, you know, it'll be man versus boy, etc. But again, the middleweight division, you know, domestically and on the world levels, I mean, what a division to be in. Do you feel Cash has got the minerals to go further and challenge high up at the world levels?
Yeah, I do. I was mightily impressed with Felix Cash. I think he's one of those fighters, you don't waste a lot of punches. And I think when you get to that European world level, they're talking about a potential European title next for him. But he's got all the ingredients to be a good fighter. I mean, you just look at him, and you know, when he tipped the scales on Thursday, he was in incredible shape. And I think that professionalism that he shows, and the fact that he's not satisfied with just, you know, beating a world level when he challenged for the world title in Jason Wellborn. But I mean, he's got every reason to be putting his name in the hat with the likes of Liam Williams, you know, Heffron, all these guys. I could see him the next 12 to 18 months really pushing on. And I mean, what a fight that would be, Williams against Cash. I mean, the build-up would be hilarious. We all know Williams likes to throw in a few digs here and there, so it'll be interesting. But as I say, there's not really much you can look at Felix Cash's performance. You know, he got the job done. Again, it was a breakdown of Wellborn, who really didn't just look up for it. He looked like a deflated fighter in there. He didn't look like he was going to trouble Cash at any moment. I really just liked Cash's angles in that fight, the way he can sort of box out a distance and then get back into range and throw those cusping, you know, left hooks to the body, and he looked the part on Friday night.
He absolutely did. But I also wanted to touch on a debutant under Matchroom Friday, super featherweight Zelfa Barrett,
yeah,
who was fighting the Irishman Eric Donovan. I mean, that had to be, I don't know if Ball and Courtney was fighting tonight, but this was certainly up there. I mean, what a display from Eric Donovan, a heart of gold.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Eric fight at York Hall. You know, he's always up for the fight, and you know, he's not sort of unrealistic about his ambitions in the sport. You know, it was a good matchup against Zelfa Barrett, who I was quite surprised, really, because, you know, obviously he hurt him in the, I think it was the seventh or eighth round with a left hook, and then obviously the knockdown was miraculous. But yeah, Donovan can hold his head up and be really proud of his performance, because again, you know, you're an away fighter on a Matchroom show. You've got every reason just to, you know, not feel the pressure and go in there and box a good fight. And I think he's really lifted his profile after Friday. And I think for Eric Donovan, you know, being such a stellar amateur and not really kind of turning over to the pro ranks early enough, it's difficult to really get yourself into like a big, you know, big fight, or even have that backing behind you, because I mean, he's been fighting on the small shows, you know, doing well, but you really need to get yourself up to that big level, and this was his sort of breakthrough moment. And obviously he didn't get the win, but again, he can come back, he can reflect on his performance and be happy with, you know, taking Zelfa Barrett to sort of uncharted territory, really. You know, we obviously saw the Ronnie Clark fight. There was elements of that sort of we thought in the middle rounds, you know, Donovan was getting on top of Barrett, that it could have potentially gone the other way. But I think just Barrett's starting to get his manpower now, and he's starting to really sit down on his punches. So again, another performance. I was happy to see him get the win. And it's just showing how competitive these fights are, because there's no walkovers, and we don't want to see that. We want to see close, competitive fights that give fans, you know, entertainment.
Absolutely, Tom. Well, listen, mate, stick around. I'm going to play another song. There's been a little bit of a competition going on tonight. I've been playing a few tracks, and you know, the listeners have to guess whether it's a Ringwalk song or whether it's from a movie. This one, Inni Kamosi. Here comes the hot stepper. Have a little guess of this one, guys. Tom, stick around. Yeah. We'll continue last night's action from your call, BT Studios. But for now, enjoy this one.
Here comes the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up the crew in the area. Murderer. Still have it like that. Murderer. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, Rico. I know what Bo don't know. Touch them up and go. Cha-cha-ching, ching. Here comes the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. Murderer. Still living like that. Murderer. Extraordinary. Juice like a strawberry. Money to burn, baby, all of the time. Call to fate, it's me. Fate to cut the shit. Come juggle with me. Lyrical gangster, murderer. Dial emergency number, murderer. Still love you like that, murderer. Na 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 na. So we do it, man. Na 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 na. I'm the 90s Jack, that's it, understand. I'm the daddy of the Mac, daddy. Is a lifting God made me. Ain't no homie gon' play me. Top celebrity man. Murderer. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. Murderer. Still living like that. Murderer. No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone test will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, G-Go. I know what Bo don't know. Touch them up and go. Uh-oh, cha-cha-ching-ching. Here come the hot stepper. Murderer. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up the crew in the area. Murderer. Still living like that. Murderer. Here come the hot stepper. Murderer. I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up all crew bow ya. Murderer. Still love you like that. Murderer. Here come the hot stepper. Murderer. I'm the lyrical danger. Murderer. Big up a crew in the area. Murderer. Still love you like that. Murderer. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. I'm a limit, I'm a danger. Da-da-da-da.
Well, listeners, can you guess who that was, Tom? Can you guess who that was?
What a tune, Innie Kamosi.
Yes, and who, what was that, Boxer the Boxer, who used to ring walk to that?
Oh, God, put me on the spot here. I can't recall off the top of my head, but it's been used quite a few times.
Oh, mate, Prince Nassim.
Prince Nassim, that's it, Prince Nassim.
What a boxer. He was one of the most loved and loathed boxers in the world in the mid-90s. The skinny boxer with his slickery skills and sharp swagger would walk into the ring to this smash hit. You know, whether entering the ring on a flying carpet or getting drinks thrown over him, he was a real, you either loved him or loathed him. But on his day, what an absolute boxer. But yeah, an absolute belter of a tune back in the day. Right, Tom, on to last night's actions from Frank Warren and Queensbury Promotions. It was from the iconic York Hall. We've been there. Obviously, that's where we bumped into each other. I mean, what an absolute, you know, spiritual home of boxing, that place for sure.
100%. I mean, over the years, it's always played host to some of the biggest nights, and I think, you know, us fans, we're missing that. We're missing going down to Bethnal Green, you know, the liveliness of York Hall. And I mean, even just touching on Prince Nassim, I mean, what a performance from Dennis McCann. I was outstanding really by his win last night, and I was kind of a bit nervous at one stage because I thought, is he going to get on? I know he was a float bout, but it was quite late in the night really when he got on. But yeah, overall, a really good show.
Yeah, I mean, I caught the action from Archie Sharp, one of the supporting acts. You know, Archie Sharp, a real prospect. You know, WBO European Super Featherweight Champion. You know, I wasn't too happy with him, if I'm honest, Tom. You know, not only did he come in overweight, so technically it was a lightweight contest, but, you know, last week we've had Jeff Afori on the show recently. You know, he put up a great effort. But, you know, excuse me, I mean, Sharp for me, he really, you know, I wasn't impressed one little bit.
Yeah, it was a very under par performance from him. I think he himself knew he was sort of critical of his performance. But I mean, when you're mentioning the likes of Shakur Stevenson and all these guys, you really got to sort of go out there and perform. And I just don't think that's a marker for stepping up to that level. And I think Archie knows better than anybody. That wasn't an Archie Sharp performance that we're used to seeing. You know, when he had his wins over Woodstock, Geraghty. But no, like, he's no tougher opponents than Jeff Afori out there. You know, he's a good solid competitor. He always comes, brings the heat, and it just looked like, again, it was just Archie Sharp just looked a bit sluggish to me. He didn't really look like he was gonna really step on the gas and get Afori out of there, because I mean, he boxed well at range, boxed well on the back foot. But then when sort of they got close, it got a bit untidy, and I just think that kind of ruined not just Sharp's rhythm, but also Afori just looked like he was a bit off the pace as well. But again, these are the fights that you're going to get every now and then. You know, he's only had 18 or so fights, and it's going to be a big learning curve for him. But, you know, he got the win, and he moves on now, so there's nothing really more to it.
Yeah, he now his unbeaten record now stretches to 19 fights and 0. Yeah. I mean, but for me, you know, there are fundamental flaws with Sharp. You're right. You know, he's 5'9". He should be using his range better. Mm. You know, he should have a stiff jab for one. And I agree with you, Tom. On the inside, he's ugly. And if he gets on the inside against people like Frampton, Stevenson, they're going to rip him apart. They really are.
100%. I mean, that's exactly it. And I think when you're fighting a shorter fighter, you need to be able to use your range. You need to be able to judge distance. And again, you know, Frampton's one of the best at judging distance. So if he's going to be anything like he was last night, he's going to get bullied on the inside. And I wouldn't be surprised if Frampton even forced a stoppage against Sharp, because last night really just it wasn't pleasing on the eye. And again, it's something that, you know, fighters, when they haven't got the atmosphere, or they're just a bit kind of put off by the lack of crowd noise and the lack of sort of energy in the arenas, they tend to box under par. And it's been kind of a recurring theme over the past few weeks. You've seen fighters, they haven't seemed to thrive off the, you know, having no crowds. And it's been a bit like a sparring session set up, but you've got to, on the big stage, on the BT Sport, on a big platform, you've got to perform. And I'm sorry, even like Troy Williamson, another one, he didn't perform last night. And I felt quite sorry for Harry Scarfe, because I felt like he deserved it probably by one or two rounds at most. So, look, they're the home fighters. They're going to get the rub of the green, even if they box to 30, 40% of their best. That's boxing. But I think, you know, Sharp's a lot better than that. And he's, as I say, you're only as good as your last fight. So he's going to have to improve dramatically to get himself back up to that world scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, a lot of the boxers, Frampton, I believe, said it as well. Sharp did as well afterwards. You know, the heat in there last night. As we know, it's a small arena, you know, and it does really, you know, the heat rises. And it is a very humid feel in there, even when there's crowds in there. But obviously, I don't know if the lights played a factor, you know, all the background screens and all the you know, the strobing lights as the boxers enter the ring. I don't know if that played its part. But these boxers, you know, they should really be able to accommodate for that. But for me, the fighter of the night, Michael Conlon. Let's move on to him. There was very much an Irish theme last night. You know, Top Rank and ESPN in the States were playing it very much going down the Irish angle, because, you know, Conlon's a big draw in America. Conlon, for me, you know, Dacute, who fought Warrington earlier in the year. You know, yes, he was knocked out in the second round, but, you know, an awkward customer, very awkward customer. Again, another southpaw. Conlon adapted to that. He switched to southpaw as well, and for me, he was the performer of the night.
100%, I couldn't agree more. I mean, a bit of, as you said, an Irish theme kind of makes a bit of consolation for not fighting that MSG on St. Patrick's Day. But I mean, Conlon looked superb. He looked, you know, he's undoubtedly a world class fighter. And again, the switch hitting, I love to see it when, you know, a fighter's oozing with confidence and they're able to switch from orthodox to southpaw. And the body shots, I mean, my God, how Takush got up from that first one, I don't know. But fair play to him, he's tough. And again, like, it's a statement, you know, from Conlon. You know, getting that stoppage would have really sort of given him huge relief, because, I mean, a points win, yes, it was a masterclass, he looked sublime sort of on the inside and at range. But to get that stoppage, it really sort of cemented him getting a good win over a veteran of the sport. I think he's had, what, 40 or so fights, Takush, and a good name to add to the record.
Absolutely. Now he looks to be moving on. He's going to drop down to super bantamweight. That's the talk, and he's going to face the current WBO super bantamweight, Angelo Leo.
Yeah.
And it's looking like that could be St. Patrick's Day, Madison Square Gardens. I mean, you couldn't make it up.
No, especially from the amateurs, when he had the middle finger, he stuck up the middle finger after, you know, being robbed in the IEBA, I think was it the World Championships or the Olympics? But yeah, no, it's a mad journey, really, to see him from turning over professional. And, you know, all credit goes to MTK and Top Rank for giving him the fights. Yeah, Conlon's just one of those special talents, really. You just, every time you watch him, he's always in an exciting fight, and he lives up to his you know, the accolades that we're hearing from, you know, big people in boxing giving him high praise. So yeah, I can see him winning the world title next year. And I just think, like, it's quite fortunate, really, because at 122 pounds, if you kind of look across the governing bodies, I'd say probably Angelo Leo's, I'd argue he's probably the weakest of the champions. And Conlon has a good opportunity there to win a world title and then perhaps go up through the weights, and we could see a Josh Warrington fight later, maybe 2021, 2022. So it's exciting times for Michael Conlon. Upwards and onwards and upwards.
Absolutely right. Before we move on, let's talk Cole Frampton. He was top of the bill there on Saturday night. I mean, what do you think? Darren Trainor was drafted in within the last week. A Scottish man, he's from Aberdeen. Relatively unknown. I mean, I've never heard of him. Again, this was technically a lightweight contest.
Yeah.
I mean, flat performance.
Yeah. I mean, I think just sort of Frampton, again, has he lost motivation? Has he lost that level of urgency that we've seen him, you know, a few years ago? Arguably, yes. But you know, you expect him to do a job on someone like Darren Trainor. No disrespect. Obviously, it's disappointing that he didn't get his original opponent. And I think now, sort of looking ahead to the Jermell Herring fight, is that an ideal opponent to have in preparation for a likes of a Herring? Probably not. He's probably going to want maybe another fight before the Herring fight, just to have that sort of shake off the ring rust and just that extra sharpness. But he did what he had to do, and I suppose he's just kind of, it's one of those fights, really can't take much from it. It was a professional performance. He got the job done, and same as the Conlon, they're looking for world honours again.
Absolutely, and I think on that performance, though, Tom, he really has to up his game, because Herring, like we said earlier, it was a good test, don't get me wrong, with the body shots, Trainor was the taller man, and you could say, it was a kind of carbon copy of Herring in terms of height. That's where it ends, because ability-wise, Herring, is leagues above Trainor. Some good body shots, but for me, Frampton really, he should go back to the drawing board, and he really needs to bring his A game if he is to become a three-weight world champion. I really hope he does, because he's got a huge following over in Ireland. But it's going to be a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, Herring, to sort of the UK fans, he's a relatively unknown quantity. So you look at Frampton's record. Yes, he's boxed the better opponents, but I mean, in preparation for someone like Herring, you need to be on your game, and you need to be a lot better than what he was last night. Whether that was the level of opposition in front of him, probably so. But yeah, no excuses. I think he can look at the positives. He's got the win, and then hopefully gets that world title shot by the end of the year. But yeah, he'll have to be, as you said, leagues above sort of what he was last night. And I think Herring's going to present a different challenge for Frampton. The height, the range. Frampton, we know, is very good on the inside, but I think he's going to have to show a little bit more than what he did last night to get that world title, third world title under his belt.
Absolutely, Tom. Well, listen, mate, I cannot believe that we're almost up. An hour has almost passed.
And it shows how time flies.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. Well, listen, mate, I thank you for joining us tonight. If any of our listeners want to follow you, all your content that you put up on social media, Tom's a very keen boxing writer. How do they find you? Where do they go?
Yeah, you can just go to Facebook, The Fight Business. So that's just sort of, blogs covering, as you said, like match reports on the fights, both domestic and international. And I've started to do some like book reviews as well, so I've been reading quite a lot during lockdown, so it's been a good little pastime. But a pleasure to be on the show last night, and guys, keep tuning in to On the Ropes.
Oh, thank you very much, Tom. And listen, mate, we hope to see you, at one show very soon. We do get about, like you, we get about to all the shows locally and obviously in London. So, hopefully we'll get to have a catch-up very soon. And once again, thank you for joining us on Phoenix 98 FM, and we wish you all the best.
Take care, guys. Cheers.
Well, guys, there you go. That was Thomas Lyons from The Fight Business joining us there to discuss all the weekend's boxing. As you'll agree, he knows his stuff when it comes to boxing. Right, guys, it's that time of the week.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM. Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Quote of the week. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Well, there you go, guys. Hope you enjoyed that quote of the week. I do like to motivate all our listeners. I know it's not difficult to motivate when once you're a boxing fan, once you see those guys in the ring, you think you can do it yourself. Well, if you think you're good enough, get down to your local gym, put the gloves on, get through those ropes, and let's see how hard you are. Okay, guys. Fight fans, look, we're almost out of time. It's been fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed me as your anchor man. You know, you're Ron Burgundy for the night. It's been very, very enjoyable. And, you know, obviously Tom helped me there along the way. So, guys, keep listening each and every week, Phoenix 98 FM. And next week, we have our very own champion back in the studio. If you love your soul and funk and disco every Sunday night, stepping out when Nigel is back, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, Nigel, he's a world champion in my eyes. You know, he's won the biggest fight of his life, you know, knocking out his toughest opponent to date, COVID-19. You know, he's on the front line, Nigel. Unfortunately, he caught the virus. He's been down. He's fought it, he's recovered, and he's back on the airwaves next week. An unbelievable story. So, guys, get behind him. If you love your soul, every Sunday night, 6 till 8 p.m. Nigel Fitzmaurice, he'll be here. He's your man for soul. Do get behind him, and, you know, I'm glad to see him back, guys. So, yeah, that's next Sunday, like I said. And we're also available online, phoenixfm.com. You can get us on all the social handles, like I said, On The Ropes FM. I thank you all for listening, guys. And remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Right, this week I'm going to leave you with an absolute belter. See, I'm going to give you the answer to this one because I'm not going to be here gone 9 o'clock. This one is simply the best. Tina Turner, you may recall who used to use this one, possibly British boxing's greatest eccentric boxer, Chris Eubank. That's it. Chris Eubank himself. I mean, whenever I hear this song, all I can picture is Eubank leaping over the top ropes when he was making his ring entrance. I mean, you know, again, another one, love him or loathe him, but he was an absolute character and on his day, a good boxer. Enjoy this one, guys. As always, have a knockout week. We'll be back next Sunday, 8 o'clock, On The Ropes. Keep listening to Phoenix 98 FM. All the best. So long.